morning. Invite you to take your Bibles, open them up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. As you're turning, I want to welcome someone who traveled a long, long, long way to get here. I don't know if you guys have seen Travis. He came all the way from Japan. He's serving in the Marine Corps over there and has had a few weeks of leave, so we're glad to have him. We thank you for your service. And Godspeed with you as you go back. How long of a flight was it? About 18 hours. A little bit there. So if you get an opportunity and you know Travis, or if you don't know Travis, you go up and introduce yourself. But if you know him, welcome him here. Well, I want to ask you a question. Have you have your Bibles to Galatians 5, right? If you don't have your Bibles, hopefully you've got it memorized, so that's good. You can just spout it off when I ask you to read. But what really is freedom all about? And are you truly a free person? I mean, we're all about freedom in America, right? Freedom of speech, that's talked about a lot. Freedom to say and do what you want to, well, not do what you want to do, although it seems to be that way. Freedom to say what you want to say. And so free, we're all about freedom, but are you really free? I just got a phone call, actually my wife did. She took a phone call from one of our friends in Danville, a church we served at years ago. And some of you know this individual. Her son is on the mission field in Brazil, Phil Bloomer. Some of you know Phil. He's actually been here before and preached to us and shared his ministry of what they're doing in Brazil. So mom is called, we call her Grandma Phyllis. She called and I was heard that their family was on the beach just this past week at somewhere in Brazil. Tough missionary life, right? But anyway, on the beach there in Brazil, and they were robbed. They were robbed. The guy came up to them and said he had a gun. And of course, they didn't see the gun, but with all the kids and everything, Phil simply just did what the guy told him to do. He said, I want your wallet. Sure, take the wallet and all these other things. And there was a moment there, I guess you could say, that he didn't have any freedom. He was under the control of another individual. And so the good news is that the guy just got what he wanted and ran away, and nobody was harmed. That's good news. But it does bring up a thought. You know, there are worse things that a person, a man or woman, could be robbed of than their wallet, right? Yeah. What if I were to propose this to you today? That you and I here today are, as far as dealing with this idea of freedom, what if I tell you that one of the worst criminals in our own lives is us? Okay? It's not the guy on the beach with the gun or knife or whatever he's got. It really is us. Your worst enemy is really yourself in many ways. We rob ourselves of all kinds of things. We rob ourselves of good health, right? I mean, I've challenged with this all the time. So I'm in line in front. I don't know if you're behind me. There's times when I just don't eat the way I should eat. And I could rob myself of good health. I know better. And I just don't do it because, well, who knows why. It's a whole other sermon series probably. But we rob ourselves of healthy relationships sometimes. People get connected and with the wrong individuals, and that can actually turn you into a person you don't want to be. Maybe you've seen that happen to another individual, and you wonder, why would you place yourself like that? Because you're robbing yourself of who you are and who God's made you to be, so you could do it that way. How about of a good education? You can rob yourself of a good education. How's that? Well, you decide that you're just not going to listen in class. You don't care about the teacher. You make excuses for everything that's going on. It's everyone else's fault why you get poor grades, or you didn't get into this college, or you didn't get into this program. And so you've got all these things. You're really just robbing yourself because you're making excuses for yourself. So people do that all the time. The good thing is, you know, sometimes people wake up in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and older, and realize, you know, maybe I should have listened to that teacher and get back on track again. But we rob ourselves. Well, I want you to know something. Today's message of Galatians 5:1, Paul is simply dealing with the idea that the Galatians were robbing themselves. They were robbing themselves. They had been given a great gift. That gift came through Christ by faith. They had already trusted in him. They had heard the message from Paul at some time earlier, and he had gone away, right, for a little time. And then he gets hearing rumors about them going back to their old ways, and he's trying to help them realize, don't go back to the old way of living. That's like walking back into a prison cell that you've been freed from. But they did because of several reasons we'll get into in a little bit. But what they were doing, they were robbing themselves of being all that they could be in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because now they replaced the power of the Holy Spirit, which indwelt them, with their own human efforts. Because that's what the law was all about, right? I got a list of things I got to do, so therefore, who's got to do it? I got to do it, right? I've got to do it. So they decided that that was the way to a relationship with God and a growing God. And Paul is simply saying, you're really robbing yourself of all that God wants you to be because of that. And so today I want to ask you the question, are you really free, or are there things in your life that you are robbing yourself of? Because if there are, I'd like to bust those up to pieces today. And I like everybody, I like to hear all the clinks, all the chains just hit the ground as you walk out of here today. And I don't know what it is in your life, and there's a lot of different things it could be. But Christ has set us free. What is that all about? Well, let's look at the first verse. Try to stay awake, don't fall asleep as I read this verse, okay? Just a few words. Here we go. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Wow. That's it. That's the verse. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. So the question really comes up here, what robs a Christian? Now remember, he's talking to Christians. Let's get the context. He's talking to believers. We've already been set free from the power of sin and death because the Spirit of life has set us free from the power, from the spirit of sin and death. And so therefore, that has been taken care of. But did you know that Christians can actually put on their old grave clothes and crawl right back in the casket again? Paul talks about in Romans 6, doesn't he? Why do you go back and put on your old grave clothes when you've been set free? Apparently, this is a problem back in his life. Is it a problem with us today? It's the same problem. People get pulled back in and believing lies and things about God, themselves, and the world, and they don't live for God under the power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, they're enslaved. They're not free at all. And Paul's, I'm asking the question, what robs a person or a Christian of freedom? Well, it's right there. The yoke of slavery. Did you see it there? The contrast between freedom, free, and slavery. It's the yoke of slavery. So in other words, the idea of, here it is, being under the ownership or control of another other than Christ. So being under the ownership or control of someone other than Jesus Christ. So I am talking about two groups now. If you're under the ownership of something other than Christ, that means you need to trust Christ. Today is your day to be set free spiritually and to receive life because you're dead. You're alive here, you're breathing, but spiritually you're dead. So you need that. But if you're a believer, are you under the control of that? Is it possible for a Christian to be under control of an outside influence that's not godly? No amens? I'll say amen. Amen, Keith. Thank you. All right. That's right, brother. Sam, you got to help me out here. Thank you. All right. Of course it is. Well, I want to tell you a little about this yoke of slavery. I think you already know, but it's good to review. First of all, you need to write this down so you understand it. Slavery is inherited. Slavery is inherited, spiritually speaking. There's an interesting verse. Now, if you go back and read through Genesis, the first few chapters, you know that it says that man was created in the image of who? Come on now, wake up. You can say it out loud. Image of who? and them to God. That's right. But in chapter 5, verse 3, after the fall, listen to this verse. You don't have to turn. Listen to it. Listen. Adam fathered a son of his own in his own likeness, after his own image. All right, now in one sense, it's really just repeating the earlier one, in that Adam being given a gift by God to be able to procreate, pass that on to his son, so that's a good thing. But since the fall, we got a whole nother situation here. Now, rather than passing on that which is holy and righteous and just, we have an inherited nature that is a fallen nature. And if you don't believe that, you can turn to Romans 5:12. You don't have to turn. You can write that down. It says this: therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin, we inherited this nature. Now, that's huge to understand. Because there's people that think, well, you know, I'm not such a bad person, and I don't really sin, and I try to do everything that's right, and obey the Ten Commandments, and I haven't killed anyone, and you know the story. I don't have to go on. Well, that might be nice, but there's a problem. You're already messed up. You were born that way. If you don't believe it, I want every one of you to volunteer to work with toddlers this next Sunday, okay? If you don't believe that there's an inherited issue with sin, oh my goodness, yes, there is. Actually, you don't have to work with toddlers. You can work with adults. They do the same thing, just more maturely, right? Yeah, we have a problem. It's within us. You see, it's not that we sinned, and because we sinned, we're sinners. Let's flip that around. We're sinners, therefore we sin. So slavery was inherited, man. Man, if your mama and your papa were slaves, which they were, you're going to be a slave too. That's the problem. It's inherited. It's also very controlling. Several years ago, we memorized Romans chapter 8. I was trying to go over again the other day. Oh my, I think that we all need to review it. I was doing really well, but I found myself missing phrases. So I'm going to read this part because I thought it was important from chapter 8. It says, for those who live according to their flesh set their minds on what? The things of the flesh. What's that all about? The yoke of slavery is a controlling issue. It literally takes over your mind, your goals, and everything you do. It's very controlling. Now, when I was just got into the ministry, some of you have heard this story before. It's a true story. I was involved in a large church in Florida in West Palm Beach. You can go visit it, First Baptist in West Palm. And they had lots of pastors there. I think we may have had 15 pastors as part of just trying to cover the church. It was so big. One of the pastors was like a Pastor Bill kind of guy, kind of pastor to the seniors. But he had extensive experience in an area that a lot of people don't really deal with much. Are you ready? He dealt with the demonic world. All right, who talks about that often? Not too many. And I'll never forget when he shared with me some of his experiences. And you're thinking here now, I don't know, man, you're a preacher. You're not supposed to lie to me. Are you telling the truth? And he says, I don't look for this stuff. It comes to me. He told me the story of this one lady that came into an office, and she was getting some counseling from him. And he just sensed right away when she walked in. I think everybody could kind of connect to this. There was something different. Something wasn't right. You ever have that feeling when you're around someone like, I don't know what it is, and I don't want to blame anything, but something just isn't right here. And you feel something in your spirit. You don't even know. That's the way it was, but he felt an overwhelming oppression instantaneously when she walked in. And as she's talking about all her problems and everything else, she just starts to change personalities and do everything. He's because of his experience, he realizes, I think this woman is demon-possessed. Now, I don't know about you, but probably for me, if I thought that, it's time for lunch. I'm out of there, right? Man, this is just the hair on the back of the neck. This is just freaky stuff. Movies is one thing. Reality is a whole lot more serious and scary. Well, he goes right after it. So he does stuff that, you know, we hear about and we feel uncomfortable even saying kinds of phrases and stuff like that. Let's just admit it. We just don't do those sort of things. But he yells out there, "In the name of Jesus, I want you," and he goes after her, and boom, she completely changes personality. She starts to go crazy. She can't even control herself. And that was the point. She starts tearing up the office, this little lady. And so in the name of Christ, he binds her to a chair and she sits down. He says, "I'm going to deal with what's going on." So he starts dealing with what's going on, and she cannot get out of the chair, but that doesn't mean the chair doesn't get up and go everywhere. Yeah, Hollywood stuff. So I'm thinking, I'm hearing this story, and I'm saying, okay, where are the cameras? I know you've got something on me. He says, "No. I'm telling you this because as a young pastor, you need to understand the necessity of the power of prayer." And he gave me the tape, and I have it, of that exorcism. I'm not involved in that stuff. I thank God that he hasn't gifted me with that. If it happens, right, we deal with it, right? We deal with it. I'm not looking for it. The point is, a person can be controlled by something else. Now, that's the extreme. But I say to you, is it? How many of us are controlled by other people? How many of us are controlled by fears? How many of us are controlled by all kinds of pride? I mean, we're going to talk about some of these things. But the point is that this yoke of slavery, not only is it inherited, but it's very controlling. It doesn't want to let go. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't want to let go of you because it's got in you a place to exercise its authority and its desires. And that's why in that gospel story, you know, the one about the one who was exorcised, the demon that left and the house was empty. What happened later when the house wasn't filled with what it should have been filled with? More came back in. Yeah, they're wanting to control you. And so this slavery issue is a serious issue. And we often, you know, we don't have the demon thing going on. I don't know, maybe some of us do. But we don't have the demon thing going on. But I say to you, we have just as much of a demon thing going on when whatever it is that's keeping you from serving Christ is keeping you from serving Christ. What's the difference? So Paul is just really hammering this. It's controlling, it's inherited, it's debilitating. It keeps you from being and all that you could have been. I just jotted a few down. You can have some fun with this with your family later on. What way has the yoke of slavery debilitated people throughout the Bible? Here's just a couple. Let's start with Lucifer. Lucifer robbed himself of what? The greatest position ever. He was in charge of the worship of the glory of God. And he robbed himself. No one robbed him. Iniquity was found in him. He robbed himself of it. How about Adam and Eve? Can you imagine? How many of you would like to have a garden experience in Kokomo? No sin, no anger, no jealousies, no poor... No sickness, no, I mean, it's perfect environment. They had that. What did they do? They robbed themselves of that experience. They robbed themselves. How about, Cain? He robbed himself of God's blessing. He could have had it. Didn't God come to him and offer him and give him an opportunity? He said, nah, he took his own route and killed his brother. So he robbed himself of God's blessing. Now, you have fun with it with your own family, small groups or whatever. It's full of it in the Bible. And then if you really want to get serious in your small groups or if you're family, make another list. Right? Make another list. What about me? So it's inherited, it's controlling, it's debilitating. So it kind of raises another question, you know. this idea of slavery that robs us of things that God has for us. What are the causes of such things? What's the yoke? How does it come up? Well, Paul's already given us a few things. In the chapter 3, this is where most all these are found. The main causes of this yoke can be ignorance. We don't know any better. We just have no clue. Do you mean I really am loved by God completely? That I don't have to earn my love for God? Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah. Do you mean salvation is a free gift? Yeah, you didn't know that? Do you mean that when I come and I confess and in my heart I repent and I turn from that and I don't want anything to do with it, that God literally remembers my sin no more? Yeah, you didn't know that? He doesn't bring it up. We're the ones that bring it up. We love bringing it up with each other. But if we don't have each other to bring it up with, we beat ourselves up. Come on now. Where are the ameners around here? Man, we need new requirements for membership. All right. Ignorance. How about deception? He used the word bewitched, but that's what it was all about. People get bewitched. They get turned upside down and think one thing and it's really another. You know, several years ago, a long time ago, I went to this store. It was just a strange phenomenon. So I'm walking down, I'm looking at all the things, you know, and there was this interesting little thing going on. There was this creature that was on this thing that went around and round and round, you know, and they'd get on it and it would, this creature would get on and it would just go and they weren't going anywhere. I thought, what a strange thing. Okay. But it was kind of curious and people looked at it. So I didn't think anything about it, and it's the first time I'd seen something like that. And I come back, found it somewhere else, and I just couldn't believe that this creature kept doing it over and over again. What's the purpose of it? Just round and round and round. So I went up to the guy, the store guy, and I said, what in the world is that thing called? What do you think it's called? It's called a treadmill. Yeah, you were thinking of that little gerbil, weren't you? We get so easily deceived, I mean, and bewitched about things, but that's the way we are when we're not walking in the Spirit. When we're not walking in truth, we easily get deceived. And we end up being like the gerbil, running. Look at me, I'm going all kinds of places, and I got news for you. It's like the treadmill. You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere at all. So Paul says, look, one of the main causes is ignorance, deception, foolish living, and of course, sin. But what does this slavery look like? Well, for us, we mentioned a few things. It looks like fear. It shows itself. You know, remember the old saying, the only thing we have to fear is what? That's a lie. I could blow that one right out of the water. Are you serious? The only thing I have to fear is fear itself. All right, well, here's a good story. If it's just fear itself, I'm driving down the road, 39, going towards, I don't know what's the name of it. It's where Tri-West High School is. Anyway, 39 North, and all of a sudden, it was a beautiful summer day. I see this very dark cloud, but it wasn't up high. It was down low, and it was moving. It was really dark. And I had the van, of course, and all the windows are down, and I'm getting closer and closer and closer, and I'm you know, I have a little experience with this, and so I'm thinking, this is weird. What is this cloud? I'm looking up, and then as I look, the closer I get, and I'm going like, I think it's 55 on 39 or 50, so I'm going pretty fast, so I got to think quickly. I realize, because I've seen it before, it's a swarm of bees. My windows are all down, and I'm about to enter into the eye of the storm. Now, I got news for you. I got more to fear than fear itself. How many of you have had wasps in your car while you're driving? Yeah, nobody? Okay, three people. All right. Well, may God make this illustration come live to you. You talk about fear. I mean, come on now. I know you're all bravado here. I wouldn't do nothing. Yeah, right. I remember really I'm driving down the road one time and I put my visor down and a wasp comes right there. He had tucked himself away and of course he starts stinging me and I'm on the road. I have no fear. I would control myself, really. So I'm going, been there? Yeah, fear. We all have all kinds of fears, and they really do control us. You know, that's the face of this yoke. It's fear where we're driven by it. We're manipulated. We would do things out of fear that we normally wouldn't do. I mean, if we thought about it and planned ahead and everything worked as our little plan and formulas had, everything would be wonderful. Problem is, life isn't that way. And you're surprised by it, so fear can really turn us around. I think about examples of this in the Bible. Remember in 1 Samuel 17 how Israel was so afraid of Goliath. So normally these guys are pretty good at warfare. They have a pretty good history of God helping them, even though it was early on and in the kingship at least. But they did not want to fight, and so it caused them to become cowards. That's sad. How about Abraham? The great father, right? You remember when he had his little interaction with Abimelech, the king? So here's Abraham, the great man of faith, and he is. I'm glad God still calls him that. So great men and women of faith can still struggle. So he's afraid, and his wife is one good-looking chick. I'm serious. It's in the Bible. Read it there. She's beautiful, okay? And so what we have here is a lady who he's so afraid that the king now is going to want to come and take his wife. So he says, I'm going to call her my sister. And that's what he does. That's what he does. I couldn't believe it. But he does. And the king himself says, why in the world did you do this? It's because my wife's beautiful. And I know you didn't fear God. So really the problem was that he was fearful. How about Peter? He was so fearful of being identified with Christ that he denied him three times. Three times. Can you believe that? Fear does crazy things. How about intimidation? People can be intimidated by others. And that's a slavery issue. Aaron was so intimidated by the people that he went ahead with this whole golden calf thing. Can you believe it? He was intimidated. What would they think? What would they say? How about Peter was so intimidated in Galatians that he withdrew from eating with the Gentiles because he was afraid what others would say. So now people are manipulating him. How about guilt and pride? Those are the things. So Paul is simply saying this face of slavery shows itself up in all kinds of areas. Terrible. Terrible ways. What are the signs according to this the passage here? Now we're going to look a little more in verses 2 through 15, just a few verses here. What are some signs that we as children of faith are living in this slavery? How do you know that you are? If you don't already have some of those other features, here's some more that Paul addresses. So the first one is found in verses 2 and 3. So he says simply this. He says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. And I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Keep the whole law. So what we do is we place ourselves under the control of another rather than under the control of Christ. And if that's the way it is in your life, then you're enslaved. Verse 13, he says this, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do you not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So another way is when we abuse our freedom in Christ to live for ourselves rather than for the body of Christ. That means you're a slave. So if life's all about you and what you want, then you're living as a slave. Look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So you're a slave if you're hating, criticizing, cutting down, biting, arguing. That means you're a slave. You're not free. But what does freedom living look like then? How do we bust out of this? Well, freedom living is simply living by the Spirit of God. He kind of starts us off in verse 5 there with two strong imperatives. He says, stand firm and do not submit. Two big ideas. Stand firm and do not submit. What do you mean by that? What did they have? They had the Holy Spirit. So freedom, in verse 5 here, talks about this idea, for through the Spirit by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. So freedom walks daily in the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way you're going to be free is with the Spirit of the living God. You can't do it on your own. You're going to just go right back to living for yourself. It takes a spiritual inside-outside conversion for that to take place. You got to stand firm in that. The second thing we see in verse 6, this idea of freedom serves the body of Christ. It says here, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So the freedom that we get, how do we know we're free? How does it look? What does it look like? It's when we live for Christ by loving others. Out of thanksgiving, not obligation. Power of the Holy Spirit, serving the body of Christ in love. And finally, in verse 7, we see there that you were running well, and who hindered you from obeying the truth? Paul is raising an issue here that freedom is simply this: running God's race that he has for you. Running the race he has for you. You were running well. What happened? Reflect right now for a moment on your own Christian experience, okay? I don't know how long you've been a believer, or if it's recent or a long time ago, but each one of you, through the Holy Spirit, have been gifted with something. I don't know what that is. Sometimes we're gifted with more than one thing. And we always have the Bible that gives us clear direction on how we ought to live. So he's gifted you with something and given you an opportunity to do this. And I want to ask you the question, how's it going? Are you exercising that through the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you using that for his glory? Or has something come in and enslaved you? Maybe a situation happened in the past where you were burned or hurt by someone. Now you're afraid to really have a relationship with somebody. Or maybe you got burned out working in a particular ministry, and so now you're really shy about jumping in and helping out in any ministry again because you were hurt. I don't know what it is, but we can create these scenarios in our minds that keep us from serving God, and basically we're slaves to that. And Paul simply says, look, Christ has set you free. He's given you freedom. But you have to stand firm in that, and you can't submit to that. I'm telling you this, those fears, those intimidations, the guilt will never go away on this side of heaven. It's not going to happen. I don't care how much you come down and pray. I don't care how much you're sincere. The deceiver will always raise up the things that you did wrong. He will constantly throw back into your face and take you back to that time and that moment and that whatever it was, circumstance, where you miserably failed. Now, all of us have been there, haven't we? And so he wants to keep you there. He wants you keep thinking about that. And therefore, you're going to now live your life based on that rather than who you really are in Jesus. So what do I do? How do I live in freedom? I know Paul says the power of the Holy Spirit by serving others in love and by running my race. How is that done? A couple things can help. One, you have to know who you are in Christ. You really do. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, it's an issue of ignorance. And you need to develop to understand who you really are. That you are a child of the King. You've been declared not guilty. You've been given all things in Christ. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength that are according to His will and His word. You have within you all that there's needed for you to live a godly and holy life. You need to know that. You say, well, you don't know my life. I'm constantly falling short. I sin. I keep going back to my old habits. I keep thinking those old thoughts. I keep hanging on to that old spiritual drug or whatever it is. It drags me back in the darkness. And I say, listen, that is a choice you make. I'm sorry. This is hard love, but this is truth. The Bible's either true or it's false, one or the other. And if God has given you everything you need in Christ Jesus to overcome, then you have within you the ability to overcome. Which is why I said at the beginning of this little ending here, is that an oxymoron? That you're never going to get rid of the fear, the guilt, the anger, and the pride. It's always going to be coming at you. Why? Because the evil one wants to keep you down. The evil one wants you to be ineffective. The evil one wants you to think about all the things you've done wrong and that you can't do. And that's what he's all about. He doesn't care how you get there or what it is that works for you. He wants you to think bad of yourself. And Christ came to give you an abundant life. Are you enjoying the abundant life? There's a lot of people that don't. Christians. I'm sorry for what happened in your past. We know we can't change it. We can't change the things we say, we do. Don't you wish you could go back in time? They had that technology. You could take the words back. You could take the decision back. You can take all these things back, but you can't. So what are you going to do now? Are you going to continue to live with that yoke on you? Paul said that's not what Christ did. By the way, he already knows you're a sinner. He's got that down pretty good. That's why he came. It's not an excuse for sinning at all. But you've been set free. Christ came for freedom. You see, the enemy knows there's power when you realize you are actually a free individual. And you can live in that power of the Holy Spirit to do what is right. Do you have that? So you got to know who you are. The second thing is that it will really help you. When those thoughts come up, and they do, they're going to come up about, it's either going to be a thought of sinfulness or it's going to be a thought of regret for sinfulness. One or the other. Prayer. Pray. Oh, I pray all the time. Let me try this. No, don't try it. Do it all the time. Pray Scripture. This is very freeing. This is very freeing. I don't know how many times. And I actually read this a long time ago, and a guy that I don't really follow him, too much. He has some things that are pretty good to say, but I'm not going to even mention his name. He's a writer. Does a pretty good job on breaking demonic influences and all. But there is one thing that made perfect sense, and it has worked in my own life, and that's praying Scripture. So what happens? You get a thought about anger against someone else. What do? Rather than just dwell on it, you immediately go to Scriptures dealing with anger. And you start quoting them. And then you say in your prayer, because of this Scripture that speaks to me about my need to not be an angry person, towards and forgive and to love, and I choose not to go there. In fact, then I begin praying for the person that I'm angry at. That really helps, by the way. It helped us more than one time in a ministry situation, but years ago when we got started, you've heard it before, where it was a very bad situation, and the anger was so bad. Or they sinned against us, but you know how that happens. You know what happens there, right? The sin against you becomes sin that you do because you get angry and you act the wrong way. So I had to get on my knees before God. And one of the things that helps whenever that person's name comes up in my head is that I say, I refuse to go there. And I begin praying that Christ will be awesome in that person's life. Now, Satan doesn't like that, so he says, well, I'm not going there anymore. Let's try something else. So you need to know who you are in Christ, and you need to pray Scripture at it. Okay? Pray Scripture at it. Because the power of the Word, even Jesus himself understood that when he was being tempted. He used the Word of God. You could be set free today. What is it that's getting you? What's keeping you down? Or maybe someone you know. Oh, Christ can set you free. And the relationship must be developed as you grow in maturity, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. You do that. You won't be on the treadmill anymore. And even those experiences in life when you're on the beach and a guy holds up a gun to you and says, I want all your money, you know that your Father in heaven is in control. Not the robber. For the only person that can rob your joy is you. Will you trust in Christ? He has given you freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's bow your heads, please. Every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you have never come to be free from the sins that have been dogging you and plaguing you, that you have no assurance at all in your heart and your mind that if you were to die, that you yourself would be in heaven, that you yourself have been forgiven by God and that you will spend eternity with him, I offer you Christ. Christ has given you a gift of himself, but you must receive that by faith. That simply means trusting in Jesus alone. He's the one that paid the penalty for your sin. He's the one that paid the price so that you can have a way to heaven. And it's only through believing in him and what he did for you and his sacrifice that you can be free. And I offer this to you, and God offers this to you. Will you trust in Christ today, right now? Right now, let go of whatever it is you're trusting in. You say, what about all the things that are wrong in my life? You're not going to get over all those. That's something that you will fight with. God can give you victory. But if you're looking to get over those things before you come to Christ, you'll never get to Christ. You must come to him as you are. And for the believers here today, whatever it is that's dogging you down, that gets your go. What is it that throws you in that prison? Is it insecurities? Is it frustrations? Is it things that you see that you're angry at? Whatever it is, you do realize you need to man up or woman up, whatever it is, and take responsibility that you're the one walking into that jail cell. Because Christ has given you the ability not to go there. And I want you to, in sincerity, to say, Lord, I've got, and then you fill in the blank, whatever it is. And it may take more than just this moment. You may have to be doing this all week. But whatever it is the Holy Spirit lifts up in your mind, you got to say, I'm not going there. Lord, I want to be free from this. I want to be free from fear, from being controlled by fear. I know fear is going to come. I want to be free from being controlled by and being intimidated by others, being afraid that if I do something, and so I don't even try because I'm so fearful. I want you to address that with the Lord and say, Father, that's not what you've done for me. Some of it's fear of even sharing Christ with others. Ask God to break you free from that. Our Father in heaven, as we close our time here, I thank you for the grace of God that just covers us in so many ways, that allows us to walk in freedom. Despite the way sometimes we think, speak, and act, you come in and you have provided the way by which we can be free. What a difference it is to a lost world when they see the life of a free man and a free woman who's been gloriously saved. And out of love and thanksgiving, they serve this wonderful Savior. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they can change lives. Oh, Father, I pray that you will, in an awesome way, break the chains right now all over this place. Help us to live free. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "Oh, come, let us."